Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. We concluded this morning with verse 10. I want to pick up with verse 11. And the very first phrase is a phrase that will be repeated 7 times in these 2 chapters. Chapter 2 and chapter 3. It is this phrase, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Very obvious, he's speaking about a spiritual ear, not a physical ear. Of course, there are people who have physical ears who cannot hear. Hearing is a very important part of being able to function normally. I was just reading this week some information about this ear. It's an amazing part of your body. It not only gives you hearing and sound, but it affects your balance also. A person who has inner ear problem, they are dizzy, have problems with dizziness. They may become nauseous at their stomach because they feel like that they are moving. Their body, their head is telling them that you're moving when you're not really moving. It's a very crippling, really, problem. If you have inner ear problem, for instance, you cannot do certain work. And in fact, matter, some people cannot even get up out of bed just simply because they have inner ear problem. So it's much more important to you and your total well-being than what many people are aware of. And as saying that, it also brings us to mind about how many people are abusing this organ. Marvelous gift that it is to be able to hear. And yet, people unconsciously oftentimes are being exposed, are exposing themselves to noises, and as a result of that, they have a deafening of their ears. There were 2 things that I noted that will cause deafness to your ears, or 3 things really. The first one, of course, is some deformity, which you have no help, cannot prevent it. You have to do with that deformity, maybe. The other one is some kind of persistent loud noises will cause your ears to lose their ability to hear certain pitches. I have that problem myself to some degree because I've been exposed to loud noises around trucks. I don't hear certain pitches. Of course, all of us husbands have what we refer to as being selective hearing. We hear, you know, but I think wives also have that that gift. But the loud noises causes a deformity in the hairs inside your ear. They literally become bent over so that you lose your ability to hear. And then there was a third that I noted that's amazing the third problem reason that can cause deafness is drugs. Narcotics, or what we refer to them as illegal drugs. And that's amazing to me because, you know, you see these cars, hear them rather, going up and down the roads, and the boom box is turned up so loud that the car itself is balancing, and you wonder, how in the world can anyone ride in such a vehicle with that loud noise going like that? Well, it may very well be that their ears have been affected, first of all, by the loud noises, and secondly, by some drugs that they're taking so that they don't hear as well or normally. And so the loud noise doesn't bother them as much as it does someone else standing 2 miles away. I've laid in my bed at night and heard cars go up and down the street and wondered, how in the world can anyone stand to be in a vehicle, usually with the windows rolled up, and such loud noises? Well, hearing is a very important thing. But here, this hearing is more than just hearing with the physical ear. It's talking about hearing with the spiritual ears. Now, there's a very interesting verse in Proverbs, the 20th chapter, that says something like this: "The seeing eye and the hearing ear, they both are the Lord." Well, that, first of all, is truth in the physical sense, that the seeing eye and the hearing ear, they are part of the body as God created the body. And the marvel of the eye to be able to see as it does, it's an amazing miracle. We think that we have done something to, when we have discovered microscopes and telescopes that can see far distance, but all of them are not to be compared with what the eye can do in detecting and seeing things in minute detail and in color and with such precision as it does. Well, Proverbs 20 and verse 12, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them." Well, we recall how God, Christ, gave healing and hearing to those who were deaf. But here we're talking about the seeing, the spiritual sense. Spiritually being able to see things. Our Lord said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, "Except a man be born again," or born from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." He was not talking about in the physical sense, although there is a future manifestation of the kingdom of God in which we will see it, but we will not see it with natural eyes. We will see it with glorified eyes that have been transformed by the power of the resurrection. But he was speaking about spiritually seeing a spiritual kingdom. You see it not unless you've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. The same thing is true about the hearing. Spiritually, I've said before that preachers can speak to your head, but only God can speak to your heart. And while you may hear me speak in the audible physical sense, only God can speak to your hearts. And so while we speak in the audible voice, with a sound, we all the while are praying that God may use our words to speak to your heart, to hear spiritually. And so the Holy Spirit here says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now this is a very serious warning, very serious note. I remember again as a child, my parent would oftentimes say to me something like this, and sometimes my mother and my father would accent it by pecking on my head sometimes. "Son, listen, hear what I'm saying to you." Well, if you've been a parent, you've done the same thing because you wanted to emphasize something and you wanted your child to hear it, because it's amazing faculty that children have. They get it from their parents, which is they can look you straight in the eye, face, and straight eye to eye, and all the while never hear what you're saying, though you were speaking in a very loud, audible voice. And you can say to them certain things, and as soon as you finish speaking, and you say to them, "Now, what did I say?" And they will have a hard time repeating back to you what you said. And even if they can repeat back to you what you just said, they will find that oftentimes they will go and do right the opposite of what you said. Well, that's something they inherit from their parents, and you will see it happening to your children oftentimes. Well, I think that we also, as the children of God, are oftentimes the very same way. God speaks to us and says things to us, and yet we hear, as it were, as that disobedient child whose mind is far away from his parent. We hear it, but we don't hear. So the Holy Spirit says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, as I said, the Lord uses means. Oftentimes, most of the times, ordinarily, we are talking about a preacher preaching. How shall they hear without a preacher? Most certainly, God uses his ministers to preach and declare his word. And yet, I submit unto you, and will repeat myself in saying this, a preacher cannot speak to your heart. Preachers can only speak to your head. Preachers may stir your emotions, But it is not your heart that they're speaking to. It is only to your head. And emotions are not the same necessarily as a spiritual hearing. Sometimes preachers can excite the emotion and cause emotions to be aroused by telling some story, some sad story or something or another, and people get all worked up emotionally and they think that that was a very spiritual message. That's not what the Lord here is talking about, and that's not what we're speaking about. In the book of Isaiah, the first chapter, God complains to Israel, and he says to them, "The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." And that's speaking about hearing. They don't weigh. So the Holy Spirit here is saying to us, to these churches and to us today, "He that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now the hearing ear then is an ear that must be given to us by the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks to us about the eye have not seen, nor ear heard the things that God hath revealed unto them that love him. But he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading 1 Corinthians 2, as it's written, verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But he hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." And so the way that we see spiritually and the way that we hear spiritually is that God would sovereignly give us seeing eyes and hearing ears. Now, that's the work of regeneration, that the Holy Spirit of God would work in our hearts and give us a hearing ear and a seeing eye that we might be blessed to see Christ as our Redeemer and to hear the truth of the gospel. Many, many times it can be illustrated that the gospel has been preached and one person can sit in the auditorium and never at all be influenced, never make any impact on that person, and they can get up and walk out as though they'd heard some fable, some story. And all the while some other person, his heart is smitten by the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit works regeneration and conviction and repentance and faith in their heart and life, and they're made to come unto Christ and to flee from sin and beg for mercy and forgiveness in Christ. The difference being not in the power of the preacher, but the difference being in the sovereign work in the Holy Spirit of God, who has given a hearing ear to that individual. Now, God sometimes gives a deaf ear. You will note that God's judgment against Israel was that he did harden their ears that they could not hear. Now, you say, I just don't believe that. Well, let me read to you then from the Word of God. John chapter 12. In the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, John is quoting from the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. I want to begin reading at verse 35 of the 12th chapter. "Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. For though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not on him." Now there are people today who think that if we could just work miracles, if we had a preacher, if we had Jesus to come among us and work miracles, but I'll tell you and show you that miracle working is not a means whereby that God necessarily works regeneration. And so Christ himself here works miracles, and yet they believe not. And the reason for that, we read in verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah, that's Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled. This is quoting from the 6th chapter of Isaiah, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the Lord hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He, God, hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I shall heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. It was an act of God's judgment in the days in which Christ was among them that certain of the nation of Israel were blinded and hardened because lest they should be converted, because it was the purpose and will of God to bring judgment upon the nation of Israel. Indeed, there were some who did hear, most certainly. And the reason they heard was because God had chosen them before the foundation of the world to be regenerated, to be children of God. And therefore, God gave them hearing ears, and God gave them seeing eyes, and they would be converted. But you see here, God judged some of the nation of Israel, lest they would hear with a hearing ear and be converted. Now, if you're blessed with a hearing ear, you're blessed of God. The 13th chapter of Matthew, the Lord is speaking about the parable of the sower who went forth to sow. And He speaks in parables. I always was told that the reason why the Lord spoke in parables was so that people could more easily understand. Well, that is not the truth according to the Word of God. The reason why the Lord spoke in parables according to what the Word of God says, that the things might be hidden from those who heard. I'll read from Matthew chapter 13. He says, and they asked in verse 10, the disciples came and said, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said to them, verse 11, because it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundant. But whosoever hath not, from him it shall be taken away, even they have. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, in hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And so the seeing eye and the hearing ear is a grace that God gives to individuals so that they might be blessed to hear the truth of God. Now then, the Holy Spirit again says to us from Revelation, he that hath the hearing ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So I submit unto you that God is speaking here to a particular class of people. It is those who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, and it is those to whom the Holy Spirit is saying, he that hath ears, let him hear. Now there are some things here in the book of Revelation that no one can fully, completely understand and say. But I will tell you that there are some things that are very clear and that anyone who has a spiritual ear should be able to understand. You should be able to understand when the Lord says, you have left by your first love. That, to the child of God, is a message which God is saying, you have become cold in your love toward me. And He says in the end of that verse, that portion of Scripture, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He also says, as I would point out to you, remember and repent and do. These are things that God's people need to hear. And it's things that not only do we need to hear, but it's things that we need to do. The message of the church at Smyrna that we spoke to you earlier about today, in this very context, he's saying, let him that hath an ear hear. Hear these things. These are comforting words. These are instructions from God. This is God's message. It is not mere man's message, but it's God's message to us. And so he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. And note this, please, what the Spirit saith. What the Spirit saith. I may read the words, and I may speak the words to you with an audible voice, but may I submit to you that it is the Spirit of God that gave these words. These are not the mere words of men. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul makes this statement, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Most certainly, all Scripture is given. But if your Bible is anything like my Bible, in this very context, the letters are in red, because these are the very words of Christ. I don't mean to make any other part of the Bible any less important, but if there's any part of the Bible at all that should bear weight upon us and that we should hear, it is when Christ Himself is speaking to us. And it is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Hear the words of Christ. He that hath ears to hear, hear what the Spirit saith. John the 10th chapter, our Lord said something like this. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Friends, here is a very evident token that we've heard Jesus Christ, is that we follow Him. In following Him, it is a manifestation that we've heard Christ speak unto us. Now, I can go out here in the world and I can see a large number of people who are following after the ways of the world. And they're doing things that you and I would say, indeed, these are the ways of ungodly. These are things that the ungodly world will do and practice. And we'd say, most certainly, they've never heard the words of Christ. And that would be true. And we might pray that God may be pleased to speak to them and that God would give them a hearing ear, that they would be, that God would speak to their hearts and bring them to Christ. But the sad thing of it is that there are many people in churches today who profess that they've heard the voice of Christ, and yet by their conduct, by their way, by their lives, by their manner of living, it's very evident that they've never truly heard the words of Christ. I sit not as judge, but the words of Christ is our judge. He said, they that hear my voice, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. Someone has well said the problem in our church today is that we're trying to get goats to act like sheep. And that will never work. Goats are always butting. Goats are always trying to get out. I have a friend right here in Aberdeen who raises goats. And he talks to me and tells me about what a great trouble he has trying to keep his goats up. And he's put all kinds of fence around them. He said it seems like that they can just get through the smallest crack in the world. I didn't know that was a trait among goats. But he says they just don't stay in the pen. Goats are always going astray. I know that God's people go astray, but there's a difference between those who go astray and never return and those who hear the voice of the shepherd. Many, many years ago, I took my grandson Aaron. I don't know if he remembers or not, but we went to Stockyard. It may have been Josh. I know one of them. We went to the Stockyard, nearby town, and we were walking around on the catwalk that went over top of the cages or the over top of the pens where the cattle were. We saw an amazing thing. In this one particular pen, there was a lot of young calves in there. What they had done, they had run the cows and the calves through the cell together, and then afterwards they had separated the calves and the cows, I guess maybe to test the cows for some reason. So now it came time to bring the cows and the calves back together. Well, you couldn't do it by color because the calves, of course, were multiple different colors, you know. And just because you got a black cow does not necessarily mean you're going to get a solid black calf. But they were experienced hands in handling this situation. And I was amazed as they came there, this edge, and opened the gate, one cow at a time, and this cow would come to the open gate, and all the calves were at the far end of this pen. And the cow, you could see her, she'd drop her head down, and she'd make a mooing sound. And out of that group of calves, one little calf would come trotting over towards its mother. It knew its mother's voice. And that's the way it is with the sheep of God. They know the voice of their shepherd. And they may go astray. It may be that they wander out into forbidden pathways. But I will tell you, there will come a time when they will hear the voice of the shepherd. They may even be dead in trespasses and sins. Yes, the elect of God are dead in trespasses and sins. All we have, like sheep, gone astray. We've turned each to his own way. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous. We are dead in trespasses and sins by nature. Spiritually speaking, when we were first brought into this world in the kingdom of darkness, and then, amazing, like Lazarus who laid in the tomb for 4 days, the Holy Spirit of God comes to us and speaks to our hearts and we hear the voice of the Savior, and we arise and follow Him. That voice that we heard in regeneration is a voice that God's sheep will always hear, and it will not leave them nor forsake them. Oh, they may fall or go astray, yes, and they may sometimes fall into forbidden paths, but there will be the voice of the shepherd who will always be speaking to them, and they will be returned. I know, like spirits, you cannot go beyond that voice. He will speak to you and bring you back to the fold. And so He says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And I want to have you to note, it says to the churches. That does not mean to say that not those outside the churches, not those who are unregenerate, and as I said, in regeneration, but it's addressing primarily and particularly those who have professed Christ, who have been regenerated, and who have been brought into a relationship wherein that they have been identified with the Lord's church. New Testament is written primarily to churches. It is to God's people, like you, that the Holy Spirit says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You see, it's a personally addressed thing. It's addressed personally. I was in service yesterday and heard a preacher preach. And as he preached, he was speaking to the congregation in general. But as he spoke, there were some things that particularly spoke to my heart. The Holy Spirit of God says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And the evidence that we are one of God's sheep, and the evidence that we compose that church, is that we hear what the shepherd says. On the hill, the mountain of Transfiguration, our Lord was assembled there with Peter, James, and John. You know the story and what all happened. There was the presence and manifestation of Moses and Elijah. There was a great cloud. Suddenly they disappeared, and all that was left was Jesus Christ. And there came a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Hear ye Him. You know, I wish that I could make people to hear the voice of Christ. That's impossible. But the shepherd can. And if he's the shepherd of your soul, he says to you, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Many years ago, as a young boy, I'd be out playing away from the house, playing with my friends. My mother would call me. It'd be amazing that I could hear her voice and the other boys didn't hear her. And I'd tell them, I have to go home. My mother's calling me. They didn't hear. They'd try to get me to stay and play a little longer. And I would want to stay and play a little longer. But I knew it was my mother calling me. And I'd have to go. You who are mothers know how it is that you can hear your child cry. You can hear her cry, that little baby cry, but nobody else can hear it. Our ears are tuned by the Spirit of God to hear the voice of the shepherd. It is the voice of the shepherd that we need to hear, folks. It's not the preachers. It's the voice of Christ that's speaking to all of us. Wherever you want to turn in this book, whatever page you will read, it's the voice of Christ. You can close it up. You can go walk out as though you never heard it. But I want to tell you, it is to that voice that you will give an accounting at the judgment seat. The voice of Christ. When my mother would call me, if I didn't go home, the other boys never got a reckoning, but I would get a reckoning. The world can go without hearing the voice of Christ. The non-elect, they'll go on to their own damnation, their own judgment. There'll come a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But meantime, God speaks to His people. And if you're one of His sheep, He speaks to you and says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." Our Father, we come to You here this evening hour.